Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Take two. We're back. We're back. All right. And I can start the show properly. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number for those of you who haven't called in, and no one has called in at this point. Where are our callers from before? We are back, callers. Anyway, 914-338-0164. Press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. You may join us on Facebook and on X, formerly known as Twitter. Those accounts can be found on our Blog Talk Radio homepage, Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic. And yes, Hata, the show is restarting. I don't know why it's restarting from this point. It's very strange. So it's the chat continued from the previous show, Neil. Like, that's the chat from the previous show.
It's so still on.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. So I'm not questioning it, but we're back. I think it's the beginning of the last show. I don't know. It just, I started a brand new show. Anyway, whatever. So we'll wait for our callers. I should send Dion a text and let her know that we're back on the air. I tell ya.
Well,
in our little world, it was Olive's birthday yesterday. Really not her birthday, because we don't know her actual birthday. She showed up on our olive tree, and I don't know why I thought we saw her before May 23rd, but anyway, that's the date marked down as the first date we saw her. So and I remember you trying to run her off. Both of the cats. you were not keen on keeping them, or at least that was the guise you were presenting to me. And it was funny with Callie. Well, I would bond with Olive, you know, when you link with them. It's when you look at a cat and you close your eyes and you both blink at each other. That's how they link with one another. And so I would link with Olive, and you told me, you stay away from that cat. You told me to stay away from Callie, and she would be on her on our shed looking in the screen door all scraggly and starving. And you said, don't talk to that cat. We're not doing anything with her. Well, and I linked with her.
This was part of the, you know, dialogue and place and life goes in certain sequence. Actually, Olive came from the underworld.
She wasn't
a cat that was of this world. She appeared out of the ground. And we had to go through a certain process. I'm sort of the person that I never show what I'm really thinking. I like to camouflage. I've done that all my life, so it goes without saying.
I validate that. I know that's, I realize that's what you were doing. Probably the same. I don't know about Callie.
There's a certain energy that is put out in dialogue. And so I'm accustomed to somewhat not absolutely representing what's really going on inside. I've just been that way all my life, and that's the way it is. So a lot of times my dialogue does not really reflect what I'm working on internally.
And always.
So that, and that proof of the pudding is that, you know.
I think it's great that you,
here,
but, yeah, well, that's kind of how I arrived here, too.
We've brought our lives to them, more or less. They're just not cats. They're total 150% responsibility that we take care of. But anyways, having said that.
Well, one thing, did Allie, whatever her name is, she was dropped from a UFO and all came from the other world, right?
Yeah. Callie was UFO, an unwanted alien cat that was biting everybody on the
And we can understand why.
and I actually saw her drop from the flying saucer. And the Martians had good riddance. And honest to God, Olive came from the underworld. She was an underworld cat that was originally really traveled far. She came from Egypt. At that time, she was buried with a pharaoh. And across the river Styx. And,
you're so foolish.
And now, instead of happy birthday, we always say sticks and stones can break their bones. But
I'm giving the wrong link. I'm sending people the link to our studio, not the show. What is wrong with me today?
Michelle,
oh, here's Dion. She's back.
Oh,
okay.
Dion's back.
Yeah, but I wanted to say one thing.
She's the wanderer.
Poor Olive's birthday present was Cadillacs. But she likes it. It's cod liver oil, and it helps her digestion somewhat. She did kick off the festivities by vomiting on late or early Thursday morning, midnight, which is always a fun cleanup out of a dead sleep. Okay. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Okay, we've got our shit together, or we think.
Thank you for taking my call. Okay, you predicted I wasn't done with this lady, and I wasn't. Long story short, I went back. Oh, well, here, this is because I have my question. I got a phone call from her insurance company that
right.
They said that they received a complaint, and they want to see the Ring camera footage of her hitting my car, but I don't have it now. I mean, I have photos, but, like, the claim was already paid, and so I was kind of like, okay, that's done type of thing. You know what I mean? Like, I got other things going on. But so I went to court yesterday, and I saw her outside the courthouse. I think she's using another – I'm not sure if she's able to drive or not right now. But anyway, so long story short –
I'm showing the picture. Hold on. Keep going, Dion.
The judge granted me a 2-week no contact order where she's got to stay 1,000 feet away from me for stalking and harassment, but it's not into effect until she's served. So I went to the leasing office and talked to the manager, and the manager's like, if she doesn't open the door, she's not served. And I'm like, yeah, but you can't really outrun a sheriff. I didn't say anything, but I just know from experience you can't outrun the sheriff because the sheriff will be back. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
If she doesn't open the door, I mean, they already know who this lady is. So anyway, I got a 2-week order, and I'll have to go back. Now, I haven't responded to her insurance company just because, like, I've been dealing with her. And so should I let them know what's going on? I mean, I picked up the other court order that was granted last week, and the judge literally calls her incoherent because she is.
What I don't understand about the order number one is that this case is civil, her hitting your car, the damages, but her harassment is criminal. And so why the judge made you or is making you go back to court to deal with the magistrate judge who deals with civil cases, is that how am I understanding it correctly?
So, yeah, No, the magistrate judge made me go see the regular judge because it's a civil matter. Now, if she breaks the order of protection once it's already in place, which it's not active until she's served, then I go see the magistrate judge, and then they go pick her up if she violates it. But I have to call the sheriff. Then it's criminal. So, yeah.
Okay,
but
well, it sounds like
I be responding to the insurance company?
I would respond to the insurance company because they're representing her. Wouldn't you? And say, listen, I have pictures. I don't have the ring video anymore. I have pictures of the damage. And you probably should have saved that video. Probably should have saved the video.
I mean, I only have so much storage. You know what I'm saying? And
I
didn't think anything of it because the officer wrote the report based on a hit and run. Oh, but you know what? My neighbor told me that he saw her do it. And
well,
so I have a witness.
Tell the insurance company that. Yeah, tell the insurance company, say, I have a witness who saw the act in progress, and I do have pictures, screenshots from that video, but my Ring camera only holds so much, and this was paid out. So at that point, I freed up my camera space, which, you know, any normal person would do. That's what I would do, and say, this woman also is continuing to harass me. And I currently have a restraining order being served on her, and she's suing not only me, but the leasing office, whatever her position is.
Regional manager.
Regional manager of the apartment complex, not the complex, but it's the whole, the district manager of the whole, what is it called? What's wrong with me?
The
company that runs all, that has the multiple properties, the property management company. Say, you know, so she's filing all these frivolous lawsuits. I mean, they may or may not care, but say, you know, this is what I've experienced with your client, and she's harassing me, and I can provide you screenshots, and I do have witness testimony. That's all you need to do. And see what they say. Your other question is what? She's probably going to get served. It's a pain. You have to go back to court, but this is what you're dealing with. Oh.
The judge was very nice to me, and so I was okay with that. I know. I don't want to do anything until I kind of, some good advice. Because, you know, like other people were like, you don't have to respond. And I'm like, I think they're going to keep calling, but I didn't want to respond until I had the court order. You know what I'm saying? So that's all. That was my question.
Okay. Well, the saga continues. You want to say anything?
I looked at the picture, and my take on her is that she grew up in a very unstable environment. I think she has a battle between her feminine and masculine side, but she's very masculine. And, if you trace her history, she's probably had mental problems and social distance and rude interactions and awkwardness since she was a child. So I think she's kind of drowning, if you will, but surviving in her upbringing. And she's carrying that history with her. So without proper attention psychologically, she's battling her demons. And she's finding the people to make it apparently sound that the battle's real.
Well, the thing is, I said to Dion yesterday, I said, really, I mean, looking at her, it's sad. Of course, for you, you're in this battle with her. So it's not, you're not going to have the same kind of perspective that I do, maybe.
In a way, I feel bad for her because she's struggling.
Yeah, I mean, I felt bad for her looking at her. I thought that pain in the ass, this woman is disgusting, all of those thoughts. But the overriding thought was, I really feel bad for this human being. She's like stuck in this. She's stuck in her own karma. And she can't get out of it.
Yeah.
She's not going to get out of it in this lifetime. I mean, it's just sad. It's a sad testament to how this world works. And she's really having problems. So I felt compassion for her anyway. And then sad.
And the other lady, the cat is being taken care of. So just FYI on that.
Yeah. So are you sure?
Okay. So I talked to the leasing manager about it. There's a lady here that lives here that's taking care of the cat. Because obviously there was people that didn't, they don't, I don't know. It's just, how do I explain it? I felt like there was people that just didn't want to care for the animal. And so allegedly the family took it, but then brought it back. And now there's
right.
a lady that lives here that's taking care of the cat.
I was laying awake thinking about this last night, and I thought that family does not want to take care of that cat. Yeah, well, I mean, as I was, I think, I'm trying to remember if it was, I woke up early in the morning, like 3 a.m, and I was laying awake. I don't remember if it was when I was going to sleep at night or whether it was that, like, when I was up for over an hour at that time. But I was thinking about it, and I was thinking that family does not want to take care of that cat. They don't even take care of their they're the person in their family, that woman, she's like a castaway in that house. I mean, you know, I mean, they should get her, or they should have prior to this gotten her a proper facility to live in, which is not where she's living now. And I understand her wanting freedom, and then she's gets to keep her cat and everything like that. But even in a retirement facility, she would be able to probably keep her cat, and there's more care and attention in case there's, you know, an accident or she falls or she's sick, like she got sick and was in that room for God knows how long.
The caretaker texted me and wanted me to call her at the hospital to see how she's doing. And my first thought was, I said to her, I said, hey, why aren't you calling her, you know? And she responds back, and she's like, oh, I'm not allowed to, you know, love her from the agency or whatever. And I was like, you know what I was thinking? Here's what I think would happen. I think that that caretaker knew what was going on and locked her in there over the weekend, okay? And I feel like they know that something happened to that lady, like she really wasn't being taken care of, you know what I'm saying?
Do you mean she locked her in there for her own protection, or?
Because she didn't want to deal with her.
Oh,
she didn't want to deal with her. She didn't want to call 911. She didn't want to get her to the hospital. She didn't want to lose her logged hours.
That's terrible. I was thinking, why would she lock her? Okay, I get it.
Well, here's the thing. On Monday, when I finally went down there, it was about 11:15 in the morning, a.m., and the caretaker had already done her laundry and still hadn't called 911, knowing that she never got out of that bed. I was the one that called 911.
It's really bad. Well, I'm glad you were able to do it. We're glad you were able to do it. And now there's someone taking care of the cat. And I was, like I said, I was thinking that family doesn't care. If this family doesn't care about the woman who's fallen ill, why are they going to care about caring for a cat? And I thought, you know, that cat could end up in a shelter and get euthanized. So good that the cat is being taken care of. The cat's at your complex now with another resident?
Yes.
Okay, good news.
It's still in the apartment. The resident's coming and going to taking care of her, the cat.
Okay. Well,
I don't think that lady's going to come back here, but that's just my opinion.
Well, I hope arrangements are made for that cat. I don't know. Do you want a cat?
No.
Well,
I have Cupid.
I know it's a lot of responsibility. And especially if there are different pets,
like that.
Different breeds, you know, I mean, not different breeds, but different species, dog, cat, and Cupid's older. It's difficult,
but hopefully someone here would take the cat. I'm not worried about that. Someone here would take it or find it a home.
Okay. Well, is there anything else? Do you want to say anything?
No. No, I mean, you know, kind of gave a profile what I think this woman's problem is, but I'm glad the cat's okay.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Okay. Well, have a good weekend, Dion.
You too.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take care now.
Take care now, but don't take care later. Take care now. It's an odd expression, don't you think?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
You have another caller?
Yeah. It's Michelle. Okay.
Hey.
So we all, like, what would be helpful is your daughter's birthday. I mean, we have your daughter's birthday. Hold on a sec.
Yeah, she was born on my birthday, so a lot of times people get us confused.
She's 10/14.
It's really funny because 1997. Yeah, because my son was 92. Yeah,
she's a 30-25.
What's her birthday?
Her daughter's birthday is 10/14/1997. What's her boyfriend, her husband's birthday?
Oh, God, I don't know. I think July.
Well, that's not going to work out.
Yeah, I'd have to.
It's difficult, Michelle, because we want to kind of like work out their birth dates and look at their connection in that level. So it would be helpful if you could get that for us maybe on a future show. But I don't know. Do you want to
I guess my biggest concern is, you know, she just got an eviction notice. And, you know, I don't know how I can help her because I only have one bedroom and she's got four kids. And now she's not going to be able to go to government housing because you cannot have any type of domestic problems in government housing. Otherwise, you get evicted.
She's in Tennessee.
No, she's in Georgia.
Oh, Georgia. Are you?
She's about 2 hours from me.
Who's in Tennessee? Someone.
My brother lives in Tennessee, and my son lives in Kentucky, which is about an hour from each other.
Oh, okay. Georgia, government housing rules. So I'm just pulling something up to see if this is, you know, why they evicted her as a victim is not, that's not right. So like we said, she needs to make a statement to the police about what happened.
I think that's what she went and did either yesterday or today. I haven't talked to her since then.
Compliance monitoring. Will you talk while I'm looking at this, Neil? Because I'm trying to see if there's rules. Well, you can't have domestic violence. I mean, you can't have I understand they want to have a peaceful residence for everybody that's occupying the complex. But it's unrealistic that there's not going to be things that come up like domestic violence there's domestic violence in wealthy homes. There's domestic violence in impoverished homes, in middle-class homes. And for them to evict her when a crime was perpetrated upon her, if that's the case, I don't understand how that's legal. And so I'm trying to find out where it says that that's legal in the voucher program. Does she have a voucher?
I don't know. I think they just got her in there. It was government housing.
Yeah. So this is the thing. Okay. Review, blah, 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 blah. So this is the thing. There is emergency housing voucher program. It's available through the American Rescue Plan Act. HUD awarded Georgia Department of Community Affairs a total of 798 vouchers. They're designed to assist individuals and families who are at risk of homelessness and fleeing or attempting to flee domestic violence. This is another, and it says it's not immediate. So she has to get online. with an emailing.
I think that's what she's trying to do, because they said the first step was she was to make a police report. So she was going to make a police report, and they told her to come back.
Who told her to come back? Who?
I guess the sheriff's department.
Well, the sheriff's department is not in charge of housing. They're not in charge of housing. She needs to talk to her housing, whoever is providing housing to her. And find
out.
Well,
they did, and they said they told her they weren't going to change their mind. So the next step is that she's going to trying to go to a shelter for the help people that are been abused.
What county?
So she's trying to get Cairo, Georgia. I don't know the county, but it's Cairo, Georgia.
Yeah, I don't either.
So she's trying
to
make a police report. She's trying to make a police report so she can hopefully the abused people can help her get her on, back on her feet. Supposedly,
well,
the husband wrote a letter to the government housing, and then he said that somebody snitched on him about the gun, and I was like, oh, my
well,
God.
Well, that's trauma that they don't care about getting into, but why they're evicting her if she's a victim is not right. And, you know, if she didn't file immediately because she's trying to protect him, then obviously it looks like they're both at fault. So it wasn't wise of your daughter not to file a report if she's concerned about her children's housing and her housing. It was not smart.
Well, that's what she's doing is she's filing a report.
Well, she didn't file a report initially. When did this occur?
She just found out yesterday that she was being evicted.
When was the gun pulled on her, allegedly?
About a week or two ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, this happened a week or two ago, and they're probably thinking it was, you know, equal parties were involved in this, in whatever occurred 1 or 2 weeks ago, and they're seeing it as a violation of their rules, and they probably waited to see if there was any forthcoming action, and now it's going to look like she's filing a police report to save her ass. I mean, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. She should have filed immediately. I mean, she's not required to file immediately, but she should have. Do you agree?
Well, I think she was trying to keep him out of jail, the reason why she didn't file a report, because she knew that he would probably go to jail because that's like an attempted murder. But she said it scared her so bad where he pulled the gun on her and he said, well, just fuck it, you know. And she said it scared her so bad, that's when she decided she wanted out of the marriage, you know.
It's not attempted murder because she didn't shoot the gun. It's assault. It's assault. The threat of battery. I mean,
yeah.
It would be a lesser charge. It wouldn't be attempted murder. But anyway, I don't know. Neil, you might have a little bit more.
I mean, you know, ultimately
insight.
They need to be divorced and separated. How long have they been married? How many years?
Oh, what, about 10 years?
Has this always been a violent trend with them?
They've always had a toxic relationship. He's mentally slow, but his mother is just not a good influence on their marriage. But I think it's over this time. I don't know. You know, she's always gone back to him. But this time, I don't know. I think it might be different, but... She's seen one guy and realized that he just wanted a piece of ass. And
that
then,
other guy she
so
talked
now,
to about us on the radio?
Huh?
The one she talked to about us on the podcast last week?
Yeah, and then now she's seeing somebody new, and I don't think he's responsible because he's still living at home with mommy. And she got mad at me for saying that, but I just feel like if they ain't got a known job, a known car, a known house, then they're not responsible. That's just what I've always stuck by, you know?
I mean, she needs to stay out of relationships for a while. She needs to focus on taking care of the children and not being with a man. I don't know why she feels, I mean, I don't know. There's obviously some kind of history why she feels she needs a man in her life all the time. But a man is not going to solve her problem. The person she's going to attract right now is probably not going to be a healthy person for either herself or her children.
I think she's afraid of being alone. I think it's the biggest part, you know. And Oh, God. Yeah. I think my biggest fear right now is that I just want to make sure she's not going to do something stupid. She said that she felt like giving up, but the only thing kept her going was the kids. And then she got mad at me because, yeah, I guess I'm judging her. And I'm really not. I'm just trying to help her, you know. I'll give you an example. She posted a picture of herself flipping a bird. I said, you need to take that down off your Facebook. I said, that makes you look like you are an aggressive type of person. I said, take it down, you know. It just embarrasses me, you know, and I don't even know how to explain it. I'm like, people will judge you that way.
They will.
Know who you are. I know you're upset. And, well, I want everybody to know how he's treated me. I said, who cares what everybody else thinks? They're going to think bad of you.
Right. That's not going
to
help them
when I tell her.
Treated. Yeah.
She gets mad at me when I tell her. So now I'm like, you know, I don't want her to commit suicide or anything, you know, because I worry about that. I don't think she would, but then you never know. You know, she's overwhelmed. You know, she's got four kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's overwhelmed, you know what I'm saying? So, and now she's going to be homeless in 30 days. She's got to find a place. I have no idea where she's going to go. And I don't know how to help her because now she can't get into government housing because you've got a domestic, domestic stuff on you.
Michelle, you know, when you have a broken, when you have something broken, you got to look at the one piece that might work, keep things together. And the one piece is her children. So you should have a conference with her about saying, look, your life, you know, you're a mess. You don't want to live, but you're worried about your children. So let's work on a plan where you can take care of your children and we'll find together the best place for you to do that, whether it's a shelter or we'll figure it out. Because if right now all you're going to live for is your children, let's keep that peace breathing. So let's make sure that your children don't lose you, because then you got a real problem. If they lose you, they have nobody. And so you have
right.
to be around for them right now. So let's talk about how we can make their lives secure by helping you find a place of security so you can be together. That's what I would say. I would talk about men. I would talk about her flipping off. Who cares? Let her do what she wants. I'd rather her flip off the camera than kill herself.
Well,
so if that's what she wants to do, that's what she
just
can do.
At least make her profile private so it's not seen by, like, anybody
well,
that can decide on housing. I mean, she doesn't want to show aggression in any way if she's trying to get into emergency housing.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. But right now you've got to
so
talk to her about
private.
Saying, you know, building up on that premise of her relationship with her children. And say they love you, you know, say which, you know, have her talk about her kids. Who do you worry about the most? Who's the most independent child? Get her to talk about her kids. Don't focus on anything else but that, because if you run her security, the best place to be is for her to talk about her children and how she can keep them secure. And just do that. That's enough right now. Everything else is too overwhelming. And if you do that, maybe there's some place where they can be together. Where are the children now?
The children are with her, so she's still in the government housing, but she's got 30 days to find somewhere else to go. So I'm like, where do you see her going? Do you see her getting help
or being
homeless?
I do. But then we come back to the phrase, well, how do we get to I do, you know? So you have to figure out if there can be an extension on the housing.
Yeah.
Where do they place people after the housing? What are the other alternatives? What are the outlets that rescue people who are abandoned? You know, you've got to start looking at those things and getting that into
order. So, and just to let you know, we're on – I mean, we have a longer time that says on the show, but we really only got 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, I sent you a link to that information, Michelle, for Georgia's, and you've got to find, I mean, it's easy to find out what county she's in. I didn't Google the city, but just Google the city and ask what county is the city in. Then you call the number according to what county she's in and go from there. But I think if she has a police report, there's a possibility she might be able to stay in the facility or in the apartment she's in already. I mean, they cannot discriminate against her because she was the victim of violence. They can't. They can't. They can say, well, you know, we don't expect these things. This was not this. If he pulled a gun on her, she was the victim, ultimately.
Right. We don't know what the letter says. The government housing said that her ex-husband wrote a letter, and they wouldn't tell her what it said and said that you're being evicted. I was like,
well,
what?
He can't write a letter. They can't evict her based on his letter. I mean, it's ridiculous. Maybe he wrote a letter that's violent, and they don't want him in the community. Maybe he made threats. He sounds like, you know, he's kind of off his rocker. He doesn't sound stable.
I think right now you've got to see, you know, if she can get an extension on her housing or what the other alternatives are.
Yeah.
That's the main platform right now.
Right. And she has a police report now?
I'm not sure. She said she was going to the sheriff's department.
Okay. So she needs that in hand when she tries to talk to her residents about, or the leasing office, whatever it is, about maybe restoring her lease. But in the meantime, you can look into emergency housing for those who are victims of domestic violence. But again, it does state that it is not immediate service. She's not going to get in somewhere right away. So you've got to start moving on multiple fronts. She needs to make that report. She needs to talk to her leasing office. She needs to get on this, and it's Friday on a long holiday weekend. So time is not on your side.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. I think the biggest thing that I worry about is as long as she's going to be safe and they're going to have some place to go, because I don't have a big enough place for them to go. They could stay here overnight.
That's not going to happen. Yeah, I mean, yes, it's a night, but she needs something longer term. So like I said, go over what I sent to you. There's plenty there.
Okay. God bless you guys.
Okay, thank you. You too.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, we have like 10 minutes. I don't know. We can close early. What do you want to do?
Do you have a caller?
No. No. Mm-mm.
Well, then, we could go another 5 minutes. Well, I guess if we don't have a caller, we already did a show before, so we can call it
Call it quits for the day. Okay, we are going to do that then. We are going to do that. And we hope those of you who are celebrating Memorial Day weekend have a safe weekend. Don't be an idiot. Don't set off fireworks. Be a responsible citizen and be safe. Bye.